program all over the country. And of course, that grew then into what medium? Well, television got invented, and so they had a television program. And maybe some of y'all have seen that in the past. The Herald of Truth. Harold Hazlip was on that. And he comes from Louisville, Bible stomping grounds. Well, now they're involved in the Internet. So that's how technology has evolved, and so they're still operating in those ways. And their mission, here's some of their mission statements. Now, look carefully. Here's our vision. Now, up to this point, it sounds okay. Allowing every person on earth multiple opportunities to hear, see, and experience the gospel of Jesus Christ in their native language, every nation, every moment, every day. Any problem with that? That's a good thought. I can't speak Chinese. Don't know how. But there are Chinese people who are lost, and they need the gospel too. So let's be concerned about everybody. It doesn't matter what their ethnicity is, what their origin is, where they're from. We want to give every soul the chance to hear the gospel. That's their vision. That's what they wanted to do with this program. Here's their strategy. Reaching out to individuals through media, the internet, and events. Now look at the next phrase. That's the problem, isn't it? Doing what the local church can't. Who's that indicting? That's indicting God. Hasn't God so empowered and enabled the local church to do everything possible to evangelize the world? I think He has, hasn't He? Then that begs the obvious question. Why do we need a separate organization other than the local church to do this work? Why is it needed? Well, it's not needed. So they come right out and say it on their website. We're going to do what the church cannot do. That suggests, well, it doesn't just suggest, it comes out and says it. The church is inadequate to do this, and we're going to step in the breach and pick up the slack, what the church can't do.
On the scale that they have in mind.
Well, that's true. But that's... Yes. All right. So, that's on their website. Our goal is to lead the lost to Christ, disciple, and integrate new believers in the local church. So eventually they'll get the local church involved in the process, but after they're through with them, okay, we'll go to evangelize the world, and then if to the extent that we're successful, then I guess they were just going to point people then, now you can find a church in this place and that place, and you need to go join yourselves with them and become an active member. See, but that's got it all backwards. But that took place. Now, did this divide brethren? Oh, it did. Now again, some of us weren't even alive when that took place, but some of you were. And perhaps you remember those discussions and those debates and all those very unpleasant moments that meant the broad division in the Lord's kingdom, having to do with the work of the church. Okay? So there's just no pattern for that. None whatsoever.
Jim,
yes, sir.
Not only were the elders back in over there, either you accept what we're going to do, or you lead this congregation, that split families too, because I know I've got most of my families on the other side.
Yeah. I'm sure it was very, very painful days.
And
I'm sure it was.
They have a terrible attitude too. Yeah. My family does. That's just the way it is.
Well, yeah. A lot of preachers out lost their jobs, were fired, I guess fired's the right word to use. They were let go because they were opposing this, claiming there's no authority for this, we can't be involved in this, and churches were going to have their way, just like the what is now the Christian church, they were going to have the missionary society. That's when it was going to happen. Now, either you're with us, or we'll leave you behind, but we're going to do it. And brethren here were the same way. Yes, Brother Tom? That's the biblical pattern. There's just a lot of things wrong with the way this is organized. It just doesn't match the pattern of the Scripture. And we're trying to emphasize, again, the basic pattern of the Scripture. Now, that was the missionary society. That was in the 1800s. Now, we have a similar example that happened almost 100 years later, and Freddie brought it up a moment ago, called the sponsoring church. All right? Pretty much operate on the same basis, same Same premise. Here you have churches A, B, and C. And there's some gospel work out there that needs to be done. Maybe it's the support of a preacher. Maybe it's the contributing to some work or some program or whatever it is that involves evangelizing the lost. So whatever that is, usually it's a bigger church somewhere. Says, well, now look, let's just coordinate this. You send us the money. Okay? We'll kind of manage this. And then if it's supporting a preacher, if it's hiring this done or originating or managing this project, why, you just let us take care of that. That's the they sponsor this work, sponsoring church. All right, that's part of it. Yes, absolutely. Yes. When A, B, and all the way down to Z, when they sent their money to the sponsoring church, what did they lose? What did they give up? They gave up their autonomy, didn't they? And the sponsoring church, where's my later point here? The sponsoring church, are they now an independent church? No, they're dependent now, aren't they? Dependent upon what? You've got to keep that money coming in because we can't fund this by ourselves. We need you to keep sending the cash in. All right? So see, it destroyed things on both ends of that transaction.
Mm-hmm. We can't do it by ourselves.
Yes. That's right. That's the point that we're going to emphasize in a moment. So, again, where's the authority for this? There is no authority for it. It doesn't meet the pattern. It doesn't fit the pattern. Okay? Now, let me give you a couple of examples. Anybody ever see one of these house to house, heart to heart? You get this in the mail? Anybody? All right. I first saw this in Knoxville when I lived and worked up there. And this came to my house here. Oh, I think I wrote down when I got it. This is, I got it on the 2nd of October. All right? It's a real professional looking, slicky, call it a gospel paper. I mean, it's not like a monthly paper, but it's a brochure. All right? Now, I scanned this, and that's what you see on the board up there, and that's kind of bleached out. But I want you to look at the address there. It's the Bethel Church of Christ, which is not but 3 minutes from my house. They're on 72, going toward Huntsville or Madison, right there on the left. There's the name of the church, the address, phone number, gives the preacher's name and the service times. So when you get this, what do you think? I mean, what's the first thing you think? Who's sending this out? Well, they are. Got their name on it. They don't send this out. See, I already knew that. But I called them anyway. I didn't tell them who I was. I just asked a couple of questions. I think I spoke to Mr. Clark. I think that's who I was on the phone. And I said, I got this in my mailbox today or yesterday. And can you tell me a little bit about this paper that you all put out? He said, well, we get that from Jacksonville. This is put out by the Jacksonville Church of Christ in Jacksonville, Alabama. They do this. Now, I already knew that because I had seen this several times before. They would mail the church in Knoxville just some complimentary copies. So I knew where it came from. And so I asked him then, well, so what do you have to do? Do you have to pay? You have to send them any money? He said, yeah, we send them so much money a month and we purchase mailing addresses for here locally. And they'll put our name on the paper and send them back to us and then we'll mail them out to our close by neighborhoods. You know how many they send out every 2 months? You might take a guess. 2.5 million copies of this are mailed every other month. Jacksonville is printing 2.5 million of these. And then Church A will buy so many thousand. Church B will buy so many thousand. And then they'll ship these out to these local churches who have sent them money. Now, the money, I'm sure, is defraying the printing cost. But the articles that are in here, Bethel didn't write these articles. They're all written by the local preacher. His name is in here. I know the preacher's name. He wrote the articles that are in here. Okay? Now you just imagine the time spent and the money to produce that many copies every other month. This isn't a couple of hundred. Right? Scott comes here to the building every Saturday night and runs about 150 to 160 two-sided copies of our bulletin. That takes about, half an hour. 2.5 million they're doing every other month, this little paper. Now, that's a sponsoring church. Jacksonville has become a sponsoring church of this Word. These are mailed all over the country and all over the world now. This church is dependent upon all these local churches sending them their contributions to make this work or make this project exist and function and work. That's a sponsoring church. There's no authority for it. Now, is sending out little papers to neighborhoods around churches, is there a problem with that? Of course not. If we wanted to fund that, if we wanted to get together a bulletin that had nothing in it but teaching articles, telling man what to do to be saved, telling man about the pattern for the New Testament church and all those important things we've been talking about, authority, all that kind of stuff. And if we wanted to pick all these neighborhoods around this building here within a so many mile radius, could we do that? Do we have the authority to do that? We have the authority to do that. As long as, who does it? As long as we do. We do. Now, what if another church says, well, let us partner with you in that and we'll bear half the cost and we'll just give it to you every month? What would we say? No, thank you. There's no authority for that. If you want to mail some stuff out, you do that on your end of the town and we'll take care of this end of the town. See? So we're not talking about things that just happened only 50, 60, 70 years ago. This kind of stuff still goes on. This is a classic example of a sponsoring church. Yes, absolutely. But that's not what's happening. That is correct. All right? So, that won't work either. That just doesn't fit the pattern. All right? Let me give you another example. You seen that phrase before, one nation under God? My wife's father, my father-in-law, preached in Cookeville, Tennessee for 16 years. He moved away from there about 2-3 years ago. The Sycamore Church of Christ in Cookeville came upon the idea, we want to take the gospel to all the world. Okay? That was their vision. Kind of sounds like what the Abilene or the Highland Church in Abilene said they wanted to do. Now, I got this off their website, so again, I'm not misrepresenting them. I just copied and pasted this right from their webpage. Look at the phrase. One Nation Under God is an evangelistic project under the oversight of the elders of the Sycamore Church of Christ. Okay? By means of direct mail, the gospel is made known to population groups in various countries. They were going to start, although the vision was the whole world. They said, well, let's just kind of ease into this. Let's just start with the country first. Let's just keep it with the United States of America. And then after we get that going real good, then we'll start branching out to Canada and Mexico and Australia and everywhere else. All right. Guess how much money they wanted first year of operation just to cover the nation. You're close. They wanted $17 million. That's what they solicited from other local churches. You send us this money. You know what it was they were sending out? This program. I wish they had a copy of one. I don't have one to show you. But they said it's an evangelistic project. You know what they were mass mailing to people? Comic books. They put the gospel message in the form of a comic book with cute little drawings telling the gospel story. That was their idea of evangelism. and said, "You send us the money, and we'll take care of it." So they were sponsoring that work. Were they biting off more than they can chew? Now, let me ask you a thought-provoking question, and I want you to turn to 1 Peter 5 in your Bibles before I ask this question. All right? To me, there's a principle. 1 Peter 5, we have some comments of the Apostle Peter addressed to elders. So there's my big red X. That one don't work either. That doesn't match the biblical pattern. Okay? Would it be okay if the Jacksonville Church of Christ didn't solicit any money whatsoever from any other local church and footed the entire bill for this to mail to all the houses that get it? Would that be okay? Would it be all right if the Sycamore Church of Christ in Cookeville, Tennessee, if they had that much money in their treasury, would it be okay if they undertook this project to mail a little gospel comic paper book to every house in the country and every house in the world? Could you go along with that? Well, okay, forget the comic book part. I'm talking about the principle. Could you go along with that? Could you? I'm not sure I could. I got to think about that. What are elders charged to do in 1 Peter 5? Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Isn't there a principle set forth in this verse that work that elders oversee needs to be among them? Isn't that a principle? Now, I know I'm struggling with this, but I mean, I just want you to think with me. I understand. I know. But what I'm questioning, or what I want to think about, is when we think about, okay, what can we do to evangelize the lost? And I'm saying we as a local church. When elders, and then I guess in the absence of elders, brethren just have to think about these things and talk about it. Should our first focus be, well, let's just cover the whole country? I mean, really, where should we first concentrate our efforts? Shouldn't it be here locally? Shouldn't it? I would think it should. Now, Freddie makes a good point. I mean, if this is wrong, then it would seem to be that radio broadcast would be wrong, because that's going, could go out to a much larger audience than your local neighborhood. Although I doubt you'd get the whole country in that broadcast. But it would go farther than your immediate area. Yeah, well, maybe so. Satellite radio now exists, and you can go all over or the internet. All right. Where Greg Gwynn preaches currently, they have a virtual Bible study done over the internet. That's all over the world. Now, that church there, College View Church, they fund that totally. Is there anything wrong they're doing? No, they're teaching the gospel. They're not soliciting money. So I understand that the point I'm raising, 1 Peter 5, I admit that it's not an ironclad. But what I'm saying is, when churches like this, up front they say, our target audience is the whole world. Well, what about starting with Cookeville first? I mean, that's where you are. Shouldn't you focus on Cookeville first? That's where the church is located. And try and teach those people there to help build the church up, teach the lost, have opportunity to edify them and build them up spiritually, because you're living among them. No. Absolutely. Unless you just got a whopper of a treasury. So, these things we've been talking about, and there's I think some of these examples, to me, they get real close to violating the principle found in 1 Peter 5. Again, I won't make that statement ironclad. I won't be dogmatic about that. But to me, that raised enough of a concern in my mind that it just doesn't seem to fit what Peter said, telling elders, you stick with what's among you. And don't be overreaching areas where you have no oversight. Albert, was your hand up a minute ago? Yes, absolutely. No, absolutely. Yes, briefly.
What's like the example in Acts 1, Jeff, when the gospel went out from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth? Does that mean that everybody in Jerusalem was converted before they could go out there?
I don't think so. And I'm not trying to imply that.
That's the reason I didn't agree with
that. Okay. But their first efforts were made where? Their first efforts were made where? In Jerusalem. Yeah. Yes, right. So I'm just wanting us not to forget, you know, it's okay to have these grand ideas, this vision. Well, yes, let's convert the whole world. Obviously, what did Jesus say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Sure, we're all for that. But let's also have some common sense, and let's not forget where we are first. We're situated here, and we need to take care of opportunities that exist here, and not, I don't want to say neglect, but overlook those, because we've got these grand ideas about all the white fields that are out there, maybe that are ripening for harvest. And I'm just thinking out loud with you, and I want you to consider some of these things. Yes.
Let me throw this in as well, right along with that kind of word that we have. Some congregations that says, well, we need to spend our money here, and we're not going to support anybody else anymore. That's not right either, because the things they want to do is to build a building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Which, you know, I understand there may be a time to expand and those kind of things.
Yes.
But to have to ask you to put some permanent right here is not so.
Yeah, I would be opposed to that too. I think that's a good point. Okay. Anybody else have a comment or a question? Yes, bud.
I'm real old. I used to go to Bethel in the 40s. Probably 15 years or so before they sponsored him. Now they have a teaching fellowship hall. They didn't. In the 40s, it was just like he said. But what's happened? They changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing leads to another. We get away from the pattern like crazy.
If God was grading us, nobody would make 100 because we're not perfect.
Yeah.
But if we're 95 and we start off into this stuff, I was thinking a lady this past week had an article in the paper. She's a cook for the Baptist Church. And this is what she said, that she cooks meals on Wednesday nights. Why do you enjoy helping at our church, at your church? Meals encourage fellowship among the members. It's important for Christians to fellowship, not just to come to church and go home. Why y'all understand that? If it wasn't for fellowship, she wouldn't really enjoy going to church.
Probably so. And we'll talk about edification.
Yeah.
And that's a good example of what we'll be talking about just in the next little bit. But before we leave this, I mean, does anybody have a question that they want to, yes, sir, or a comment? Well, I'm not trying to suggest, and pardon me if that's the way it's coming across, I'm not suggesting that passage is talking about is talking to elders and their role as the shepherds and overseers. The point I was making with that passage is the principle seems to be that Peter was saying, your oversight is among those sheep or that flock that's among you, and there's a relationship there. And it would seem to me that also by extension of that, you could begin to think about the evangelistic work of the church over which those men had oversight. Yeah, as we've displayed with the other, and I admit those are extreme examples, the sponsoring church and the Herald of Truth, those men who served as elders, they overstepped their bounds by trying to oversee those works that were not among them. And that flagrantly violates 1 Peter 5.
I'm even talking about if one person sponsors the work in another country.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me like it's that same application applies. If there's no person, the cabinet possibility of both sides, even if they're sending money to the church, the work in this country,
Well, maybe you raise a good point. Although I can see where Paul told the Corinthians, you know, I robbed other churches while I was with you, and they supported me while I was laboring here in Corinth.
I think there's a difference of support.
Well, yes, I would agree, but I think somewhere along the line there is some connection. They do eventually blend in together. Yes. Yes. And that's one of their jobs. Can I say that again?
I think the local eldership has this year's responsibility over the money. How the money is spent, good work, good mission to be involved in. I don't think they have the authority to oversee the work that that money is going to. Their responsibility.
Yes, I would agree. Yes.
So there's a difference.
Yes. Yes.
And shepherding the
yes. In that sense, you, I would agree with you. Yes.
Versus an extension of anything else.
Okay. Yes, that's a good distinction. James, your hand was up. Well, to me, the
if the man's using the money for printing and other things outside of his home, putting the bread on the table, paying his local bills, that's part of the work.
Well, there is some connection, yes. Again, like I said, I think they do eventually begin to blend together, but the money was never sent to the church. It was sent to the man. And I think that is a distinction that the Scripture does make. And we need to honor and respect that. Now, how he spends it. Of course, this church may never know how he spends it unless somehow we learn how he did it. But the money wasn't sent to the church or the work. It was sent to him because that's the pattern in the Scripture. Yes, to do the work of an evangelist. Now, if he fails in that, as you said, that can be then withdrawn in the future because the church that sent it was not being approving of how he spent that money. Yes, Charles, then we're going to have to end class. Yes. Right. Yes. 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 Okay. Good comments tonight. Good discussion.